Okay. Welcome back. This gentleman has contributed over half a century of his consciousness, his life, his intellectual genius to unlocking the door that we're almost all standing on the outside of, and letting people look at those who want to look in, and letting them look in at the truth, the reality of how this planet is being controlled. Now, I think we all know that we're headed toward an AI world. We're almost there now. In fact, in many ways, we are there. We are right now on the verge of being arguably the second most intelligent life form on the planet. And the first would be AI. I know it doesn't have blood like we have it, but believe it, it's coming to the point where AI is going to be the dominant life form on the planet. We will be reduced in number greatly. We'll be a plantation planet. And the funny part of it is the controllers who have set up this AI think that they're going to irrevocably and inevitably always be in control. They don't seem to remember the lesson from the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. The computer takes over. AI. That's what it was all about. Stanley Kubrick. Jordan Maxwell, my friend of, almost 25 years now, I guess. Something like that. Is sitting somewhere, hopefully, comfortably. How are you, Jordan?
Oh, thank you very much, Jeff, for allowing me to be on the show again. I really very much appreciate your friendship and the kindness you've shown me over the years. You've always been there as a dear friend, and I really appreciate you and what you do, what you contribute to the world, because I know how difficult it is.
Thank you very much.
And you've always been there for me, and I don't forget my friends.
Well, it's been a long haul for both of us in many ways, and you know, without friends, you have nothing except yourself, and that's supposedly yourself is your best friend. But I'm not sure that this current generation of people, the millennials, and most of the millennials and the others, really even know who they are, let alone that they're. Inner self is truly their best friend. It's their soul, their spirit.
I know.
Anyway, are you on a speakerphone, Jordan? You sound like you're in a hollow cave somewhere. I want to get you up present.
I'm in a hollow cave of some sort. Yeah.
I figured you were. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Back to nature. Are you on Skype?
I have a little Mickey Mouse little office out behind the house I lived in.
Just a little small,
it was like a little tool shed that my friend gives me to live in. And I live in a little small room in the house, and I have my own shower, etc. But I live mostly in my office, which is a little makeover tool shed. And that's all I have in my life. This is it. And thank God I have this.
I don't know what to say except in Los Angeles, they admit to 60,000 people living on the streets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't even take into account the typhus and everything else. Are you on a phone, Jordan, or are you on Skype?
I'm on Skype, actually.
It's awful. Awful. Well, it's not good. Can we get you on your telephone?
Say that again.
Okay, Jesse. Can you get your telephone and Todd will call you back on the telephone? This is really not a good connection.
My only telephone is my Google phone, but you can
wait a minute. Now you're sounding better. What did you do?
I just moved my chair over a little bit next to the computer.
Move that chair up and put that microphone right on your chin, whatever it is.
All right.
There we go.
Okay. Is that a little bit better?
Mo better.
Okay. All right.
So listen.
Anyway, where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's the question. And I really do think that in the next 5 to 10 years, AI will obviously be running the show, not without control, but the controllers are eventually going to lose their control over AI, and it'll be AI that'll be running things. That's the way I see it.
I think you're probably very, very correct. I think you're right. That's what I've been feeling for a long time of watching it grow and watching it evolve. And now I begin to see it finally coming into, into the life I live. And I'm seeing it everywhere. So I think you're right. We're going to see a time when the human race is going to lose control and we are going to be nothing but slavery, and this is what basically we are right now around the world.
Right, serfs.
Slaves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Serfs. Yeah. Servant class. That's what we are. And there are too many of us. So they're going to do something to cull the herd, I think, probably by three-fourths at one point or another. It'll end up, an awful lot of people are going to be let go,
hurt.
So to speak.
Oh, they're going to be hurting bad. I can see it coming. I can see it coming. People have been spending tens of thousands of dollars so that they can send their children to college, to university.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Come to find out that when they come out, the only thing left for them now is to go to work for McDonald's. Well, hell, you could have done that with, go directly to McDonald's. Don't even.
Well, those jobs are vanishing. They're going. Those jobs are going away. Robots, robotics taking over.
Yep.
It'll all be robots.
Yep.
So where do we go from here? Look for the exit, because that's where we're going. Out.
Yeah.
Circling the drain, you know? Circling the drain. That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, I am, I've been looking at this subject as you have. I've been looking at it for 60 years. And I have finally come to the conclusion that I think that our major religious presence on the earth is the Jewish religion. And
Jordan, that can't be possible, because the Jews are only 0.3% of the world population. So how could the earth's foremost religious expression be Jewish? How can that be? I said that with tongue in cheek.
Yeah. It's a business.
There you go.
It doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. It's a business. It's a corporation. It's a big story. And like George Carlin said, the people who run this world from behind the scenes, it's a big club, and you ain't in it. And if you're not in the club, then you're never going to understand how they are doing and what they're doing to you and how they're doing it. But I think I have discovered something in the last 6 months of my life. This past 6 months, I have come to understand that the tool that is being used today, I'm sure that you know this, Jeff, that I've heard stories about people who go to Hawaii and they pick up rocks from the volcanoes and take them home as a souvenirs. And then they send them back to Hawaii, put them in a package and mail them back to the state of Hawaii and say, here, take these stones back. Why? Because we have never had so much horrible tragedies and trouble by borrowing and stealing from the gods of the Hawaiian gods and these artifacts. And so I think that's what has happened to the whole world. We have been led by the ancient religions, or what I would refer to as, so people would understand, the Jewish religion. We have been led into the religious philosophy called Baalism. And it was a cult, the cult of Baal. Spelled B-A-A-L, Baal.
Baal, yeah.
And I am totally convinced that this is where the whole problem of the world of mankind comes from. From the continuation of perpetuating the Baal religion by the Jewish religion has been continually promoting Baal worship and under the guise of different religious groups and different sects and cults throughout the world, of which Christianity, unfortunately, was the best of the biggest cults developed. And I remember reading many, many years ago large volumes of research talking about the Judaizing of Christianity and how the ancient religions of Baal was being involved in the developing of what we call Christianity. It was actually the worship of Baal. B-A-A-L was a sun god in the ancient prehistoric world. And it was the main cult religion, the worship of Baal or the sun god. And it has now finally been brought into the mainstream media of academic, in schools, universities, colleges, and ultimately into the media. And we're seeing now the breakdown of the human family, the total ultimate breakdown of civilization in the world based on the worship of Baal, worship of the sun, god.
You know what's really amazing?
Judaism is responsible for doing this. I believe it is the Jewish religion that has brought into this world the worship of the ancient sun god, Amun. And we know about the worship of Amun-Re, which is A-M-E-N hyphen R-A. We put a Y on the ray and become sun ray. No, it's the sun god, Amen. Amun-Ra is Amen ray. And at the end of the prayers in Christianity, we all say Amen. Why? Because you are sending your prayers to God through his son, S-U-N, his sun god, Amun-Re. And so that's why you say amen at the end of their prayers. But what I want to bring out here, I think is very important, is that when you look at the worship of the Jewish religion, they will tell you in Judaism that the most important name of God is so holy that we should never use it. Because if you, as a non-Jew, use it, then you're using it in vain. You're using God's name in vain. Why? Because you are not worthy to use his name. Very few humans are worthy to even use God's name. But in order for the God of Hebrews, the Jewish God, to be acceptable and to use his name, they gave him, the Judaism has given their God, acceptable name, a name that is agreeable and acceptable to use, and is called the Tetragrammaton. Have you ever heard that term used in Judaism, Tetragrammaton?
No, okay. That's a new one.
Tetragrammaton, you look it up on the web, you look it up, and it will tell you it's the name of God, which is agreeable to be used by anyone in the world. And so on all altars in all synagogues throughout the world, any synagogue you may go to, you could go into any synagogue in any country at any time, and you will always see the name of God is called Tetragrammaton.
Spell it, T-E-T-R-A, Tetragram,
G-R-A-M-M. A-T-O-N.
Grammaton.
Grammaton.
Got it. Oh, Aton, okay. Like the ancient, I got it. All right.
Yeah. All right, tetra is four, gram is letter, as in grammar.
Yeah.
So tetra is four, gram is letter. That's what tetragrammaton is. It's four Hebrew letters for the name of the God of the Hebrews. And it's tetragrammaton. The God of the Hebrews throughout the world is the Aton, A-T-O-N, tetragrammaton. Tetra is four, gram is letter, and Aton is the sun god of the ancient Egyptians. And so now what we are stuck with, what we are talking about, is the symbol for tetragrammaton is a swastika. And that's why today in Israel you will see in certain synagogues swastikas, because the swastika was the symbol for the Aton, the tetragrammaton. And so I am of the opinion that this dark and mystical religion has worked its way into the very fiber of the human race and into our destiny as humans. We have a destiny we are being led into, to the worship of a dark and evil presence, I know, in the universe that we are now beginning to see as going all the way back to ancient Egypt. And
right.
The symbols that are in Washington, D.C. today and around the world and all the national capitals. In Washington, D.C., we have such things as the Washington Monument, which is, of course, the obelisk, the Egyptian obelisk. The Egyptian obelisk represented the male phallic, and it connects directly. The male phallic obviously connects to the female ovaries or the oval office. And so you're beginning to see the sexual continuation of sexual power around the world and mankind's institutions. And we're seeing that now being played out in religion. Sex has become the main factor of major, most of the big religions of the world. All of the different religions that talk about holiness are all being involved in sexual problems that they're coming up with. And so we know that most of the prostitution and the pornography has been officially in the hands of people of religion. The church is heavily involved in it. And so many times the major people behind pornography are found to be in the major cities like New York and London.
Yeah.
And unfortunately happen by chance to be of Jewish faith. And that's a fact. It's a fact of the matter. And so when you look at the worship of the Aton, of which the Jews say is the most sacred name of God, is the tetragram Aton. The symbol for the Jewish God is the sun god of Egypt. And when you look into the dark background of the Aton worship, you will see that sex is the primary part of the Aton religion. And so what I am saying is I believe that we humans have been led into accepting as the almighty God of the universe and God's chosen people. Yeah, we mean chosen people.
Yeah.
We are the only ones that have a special relationship with the God of Egypt, the Aton,
right.
The tetragrammaton. And so it's a sun worship. And what does the sun do? It illuminates, it gives us light. And so from that concept of the sun giving us light and lighting up our lives, we get the word illumination, which comes from the idea of the Illuminati. And I believe that there is a very dark, dark and evil connection between the ancient God of the Hebrews, the Aton, the sun god in Egypt, and what we call today the forefront of modern-day Christianity being the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church has always been talking about Jesus being the light of the world. He's God's son. So you ask yourself the question, who owns the sun? And there's no one on the earth can legitimately claim that they own the sun. So when you ask that question, you might want to, at least philosophically, you might want to say that God owns the sun. And so therefore Jesus is called God's son, the light of the world. Well, of course the sun is the light of the world, but you are intermingling ideas in religion which go back to the Aton, the great sun god of Egypt. And so, but happily, we only have one sun. We don't have six of them. We only have one, so that Jesus is God's only begotten son. And he is our only begotten savior, and he's our risen savior. Of course, the sun is your risen savior. Every morning it comes up. And if it didn't come up, we'd be dead in 3 weeks. Because the sun keeps us alive and keeps life going on the earth and in our little solar system.
Hold on, Jordan. Hold on. I got to take a break here. Hold on. Very important. Very enlightening. Illuminating as well. So we have this Baal Arch, B-A-A-L, the Baal Arch has been recreated here in New York and in Washington, D.C. They're putting the Baal Arch recreations up. They've got plans to put them, I think, in 100 places around the world or something like that. And this is a very important tie into what Jordan was saying. Baal, B-A-A-L. Look up the Baal Arch. Just do a simple search for that. And you'll be surprised how many replicas of this ancient Temple of Baal Arch have been built around the world and are planned to be erected around the world. It originally came from the Temple of Baal in Palmyra in Syria. And it was blown up by the ISIS lunatics, but the archway remains standing. And that is what is being recreated around the world. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Mr. Maxwell. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with Jordan about some fascinating things. This whole Baal or Baal thing is so poorly understood by the masses. Most of them have never even seen the four-letter word, Jordan. That's the truth of the matter, B-A-A-L. And when they see this arch, they don't have any idea what it means. So, again, hidden in plain sight, however. It's right there. Go ahead.
St. Louis, Missouri. There's a huge arch in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And St. Louis was a Knights Templar, an international Knights Templar, St. Louis.
Interesting.
We in America are being played for fools because the powers that be know that we are not going to bother ourselves to do research into dark and arcane subjects for 60 years.
No, we're too busy with sports and our smartphones and big screen TVs and all that other important stuff.
And all your silly ball games.
Get right up on that microphone, Jordan. Yeah. Get up on your microphone. Get right next to it.
Yep, okay. I'm right next to it right now.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, I want to get into this one subject because I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and it takes me a few minutes to get into this thing, but
yeah.
I want to go a little bit deeper into this Baal worship, because in the King James Bible, we refer to it as the Authorized Version, which means the King of England has authorized you to read this particular version. He didn't authorize you to go sticking your nose where it's not belong, where it doesn't belong, and nobody has asked to go do research in. He has authorized you to read the one that he put out into the world.
Sure.
And so when you look at what happened in the book of Genesis, I believe that this is an incredible story of betrayal. Because when you understand what the words mean in the Authorized Version and what happened to that version of the Bible, it's going to explode in your face. You're going to find out how much you didn't know. And I'm telling you, it's an extraordinary story of the worship of Baal in relation to the extraterrestrial presence in our solar system. Let me explain. When you read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It does not say that in the original, what we call Hebrew. In point of fact, there is, in fact, no such a thing as a Hebrew language, period. There is no such a thing as a Hebrew language.
Wow.
The language which we call Hebrew, we call it Hebrew because Hebrews speak it. So that's like in America. Here in America, we Americans speak American. No, we don't speak American. We are American, but we speak English. And so the idea being is that when you have the rabbi say something, well, they will tell you, well, in Hebrew it says this, this, and that. There is no such a language as Hebrew. There are people we call Hebrew who speak this language, but it's not Hebrew. It's a Phoenician Canaanite language. It's a Canaanite Phoenician language, which the Hebrews speak. And so we ignorant, we call it Hebrew. No, it's not Hebrew. It's Phoenician Canaanite. So when you go back to the Phoenician Canaanite, it takes you back to the land of Cana, which we call today the state of Israel. The state of Israel is where the land of Cana was. And so when you read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it does not say that in the original text. That's not what it says in the original text. Because God, in the Phoenician Canaanite language, which we call Hebrew, God is El, E-L. El is God in the Phoenician language, or what we call Hebrew. And so if you go back to the old Hebrew Bible and read Genesis 1:1, you would think it would say, you would be expecting it to say, in the beginning, El created the heavens and the earth. But it doesn't say El created anything. That's not what it says. It says, in the beginning, Elohim. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Then you go to the Hebrew research text and look up the word Elohim, which is the actual word that's used in Genesis 1:1. And it says Elohim is El, for God is El, and Elohim is a apostrophe S on the end of an English word makes it more than one. You have C-A-R or
it's plural.
S makes it more than one. And so the Encyclopedia Judaica will tell you, the Jewish Encyclopedia and Dictionaries will tell you, Elohim is a plural on the end of the word El. El is God, Elohim is a plural, meaning many gods. Therefore, when you're reading Genesis 1:1, it should be correctly translated, in the beginning, the gods, G-O-D-S, more than one. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when you understand that, now you begin to see that when man, man in the Phoenician language, the old Phoenician Canaanite language, the word man, M-A-N, is actually spelled Ish, I-S-H. Ish in Hebrew is man in English. So you would expect when God is creating Adam and Eve, it says God created Adam and Eve, and God created man. No, God did not create man. It doesn't say that. Go back and read it correctly. It says, in the beginning, the gods, more than one, the gods created the heavens and the earth. And the gods created A-D-M, Adam. And that's why we have something called a pre-Adamic man. Adam is A-D-L. We have people who have mistranslated it and wrote it out, God created Adam, A-D-A-L. No, that's not what it says in the official original Hebrew Bible. It doesn't say God created Adam. It says, in point of fact, God created A-D-L. The word A-D-L, we put an extra A in it, make it Adam. That sounds better. So it's Adam. No, it's not Adam. A-D-L. And so what I'm saying is that when you begin to see how, when the scripture says God created man, it says in Genesis 1:28, and God said, come let us make man in our image after our likeness.
Got it.
And then we say, because we're ignorant and ill-informed and unread, we say, well, there it is. There's the scripture that says God has created man. No, it doesn't say that. Go back and read it correctly. It says in the beginning, and when God is creating man, it says, God said, come, let us make Adam, A-D-L, not Adam, Adam. And so Adam is a pre-Adamic man. Pre-Adamic man is Ish. So you would expect the scripture to say in Genesis 1:28, the God, El, said, come let us make Ish, because Ish is man. No, it's not Ish, it's A-D-L. Go look at it, read it yourself, and you will see it doesn't say Ish. So God is not making man, he's making something called, in the Phoenician language, an A-D-M, Adam, obviously meaning a different kind of creature. So I'm saying that here is the important point I want to make. That if the Ish is man, so the scripture shows that somebody came here a long time ago. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years ago. Somebody came here that the Phoenician Canaanite language calls these visitors who came here the extraterrestrial, shall we say, visitors who came here. They were the gods, the extraterrestrial, the gods who came here. And they said when they came here, they saw Ish, the incredible creatures we call the Neanderthal man and the Cro-Magnon man and the Bigfoot and whatever these creatures were that we scientifically call hominids today. Therefore, there must have been some kind of an extraterrestrial presence that came here and saw the Ish, the indigenous man that was here on the earth that wasn't so pretty for being a man. He wasn't that great. And so they said, the extraterrestrials who came here said, come let us, more than one, let us make Adam. And not come let us make Ish. Ish is already here. So what I'm saying is that the extraterrestrials said, basically, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So therefore, the Ish, the ancient prehistoric man, was now being made into the image and likeness of the extraterrestrials who came here. More than one God. So in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. And then the gods said in Genesis 1:28, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And I've had a rabbi, a leading rabbi in America, told me many years ago, go back and read the scripture correctly. It doesn't say God made man. Man is Ish. It says God made Adam. And this is today why we have, when we talk about these ancient prehistoric creatures, we call them pre-Adamic man. Because Adam was a new kind of creature. And that Adam has the half of his personality, the half of his being is extraterrestrial. And that's why today I have heard so many people who have said that they have had been abducted by extraterrestrials. And they say that these extraterrestrials look like humans. Well, that's what the scripture is actually saying. The gods, whoever they are, they come here and they recreated Ish, which is the old word for man. And they said, come, let us make Ish in our likeness and look to be like us and in our image and our likeness. So here is the punchline to the story. It appears that this is how we were created. Someone came here a long time ago from out there, from where we don't know, but they came from out there and they're a hell of a lot smarter than we are. They have said they're not God, but they are the gods. To us, they are gods, meaning that they are far superior to our technology. They're far superior to our intelligence. They're just downright superior creatures, period. They come from another area in our galaxy or in our universe somewhere. They have come and they came here and encountered what we call the Ish, I-S-H, the ancient mankind. And ancient mankind were probably upright, bipedal, creatures walking on two legs, 2 feet. And these ancient extraterrestrials who came here, they saw these creatures and they said to themselves, come, let us make this creature into something like us. Let us make him to look like us in our image and in our likeness. So therefore they began to cross DNA with these ancient creatures that we call Ish man and recreated us into a new kind of man, an Adamic creature, A-D-M. Ask the rabbi what A-D-M or go look it up yourself, A-D-M in capital letters, Adam, not A-D-A-M, Adam, no, not Adam, Adam. So the bottom line on this, and then we can conclude this idea, is that somewhere along the line, hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of years ago, who the hell knows, all I know for sure is that we have been lied to and misled by our so-called scientific community, because science today is a religion. They have their holy books, their holy writings, and they're saints, and they have to follow that religion exclusively. And whatever they're told, the scientists are told, here are the people who are our leaders and our God-blessed leaders of the world in science. That's what all scientists have to agree to and listen to their masters. And now they go out and get a degree from the university to have the Caesar, Augustus Caesar, accredit them so that they can go out now and be called a doctor. And now they can get a job. And now they can make some money with the science because they are working for Caesar. And you don't mess with Caesar because he is in total control of all education, all knowledge. He knows things that you don't know. And therefore he has put together a huge humane society all over the world. He's put together a human society.
Yeah.
And you must follow whatever that has been directed by Caesar. You must follow that if you're going to have a job. If you're going to be successful, if you want to eat and have a home.
Now, don't forget about the student loans, Jordan. 50 million Americans are now indebted for life with $1.4 trillion in student loans. They'll never pay it off. They're completely subservient. So there's your control, another aspect of it.
That's another aspect. That's part of the system. The banking system. I mean, we know that our human bodies are security on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes, yes.
And so, therefore, we are nothing more than just a commodity. We can be bought and sold. Well, we know that. That's the way the world works. Either you've got a job or you don't.
If you've got bought, a job, sold, and we can be liquidated and cashed in.
That's exactly right. And with artificial intelligence, I say thank God, artificial intelligence, because at least we have artificial intelligence. Thank God, because the human race has zero intelligence, period.
That's good. That's good. Very good.
So at least we got something that's thinking for itself. We have to make it into a computer so it can think for itself. Well, I thought
like
God
it.
Did that when he created us to think for ourselves. But we don't think for ourselves anymore because we don't know what to think anymore. We're not educated. We don't know what's going on. Nobody's ever told us anything. And the best advice we have ever had, George Carlin said, the people who run this planet are very powerful people, and it's a very important club, and you're not in that club. So
don't
drink beer and watch a ball game and forget about doing anything with any real intelligence, because if you do something in this world with real intelligence that helps the human family, you will go to prison. They will throw you into prison. And you will die and nobody will ever hear about you again. Because that's the way the world works today. We are living in a very dark and evil time.
The truth is a crime. Yes.
You can bet on it. And so that's why I'm looking at this thing called the worship of Baal, which is Tetragrammaton. I know that the Jews in the audience know about Tetragrammaton. Not Tetragrammaton, Tetra. Four, grammar, letters, for the God of the Hebrews, Aton. Look it up in the dictionary. The Aton was the powerful sun god of Egypt, the tetragram Aton. And that's why the tetragrammaton, the name for God, as I've told you before, in all synagogues, is always inside of a sun verse. On the altars in the synagogues, it's always inside of a sun verse. Go on the web and look at the sun god of Israel on the web under image, and you will see all over the earth, all synagogues have the name of the Jewish God in a sun verse on the altar. And so what I'm saying is that I think we humans have been misled into worshiping the Aton, the most ancient sun god of Egypt. And this is why our God that we are given, like Jesus, is called God's Son, the light of the world. Of course, the sun is the light of the world. Well, he is our risen Savior. Of course, the sun rises every morning, and it is your Savior. If it don't come up, you're dead in 3 weeks. And so once you understand that Christianity, Judaism, yeah. Islam, and all the other major cults and religions of the world have all been promoted through dark Masonic associations, secret societies, organized criminal societies that have been promoting all of these religious stuff that's going on in the world today. If we're not supposed to know any of it, we just shut your mouth and go along to get along and just continue to do what you've been doing, and you will be finished forever. The human race is on its last and final leg to stand for itself and to have a life. Humans do not have a life anymore. You're told to keep your mouth shut and don't ask any questions.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
And so, as far as I'm concerned, I also would like to quickly get in a couple of credits. Myself, I'd like to be able to say to the audience that if you want to help me, you can make a contribution to my website, and it's Jordan Maxwell Show, S-H-O-W. Make sure you always add the word show, because that's
don't forget that. That's right.
JordanMaxwellShow.com. And when you go on JordanMaxwellShow.com, you will see an ad, a little flyer to join my research society. Do that, and you will see all the research I've been doing for my life over the years. And also, I need for you to understand, and I need to make the announcement, that I am going to be speaking at a big conference, a very big UFO conference in Laughlin, Nevada in February. I think it's on the 14th or 15th of February in Laughlin. Laughlin, Nevada is about 50 miles south of Las Vegas on the Colorado River. Laughlin, Nevada is going to be a major big conference. There are people coming from around the world, 30 different speakers. It's going to be a week-long conference, in which I have been asked to speak there, and I'm going to do a very big and important slide presentation, PowerPoint presentation on the occult world order that we're living in.
Oh, good.
And what this supposed to mean.
Oh, good.
And,
all right, well.
Yeah, it's going to be very impressive, and I've got one hell of a presentation I've been working on for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm finally going to be able to put it out there the way I want it to look, and I'll be able to do it myself. And it's going to be
wonderful.
In February.
Wonderful news. Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk before then, Jordan. What a fabulous serving of information tonight. Really amazing. When you go to Laughlin, they videotape everything or record it digitally now. We'll be able to eventually get this presentation, those of us who can't get there. So I'm really happy about this. This is very good. Very good.
Well, go on the web and look for it. And they may be maybe streaming it, possibly. Where you can
watch. I wouldn't be surprised. All right, very good.
All the 2020 UFO Mega Conference.
Yeah.
And
big.
It's going to be mega. It's a big operation. They're bringing speakers from all over the world, and they're going to be giving me a Lifetime Achievement Award, which I am delighted.
Oh, how nice.
And so it's going to be quite an event in Laughlin,
right.
Nevada, 50 miles south of Las Vegas. Laughlin.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this as it gets closer. Jordan, be well. Talk soon, my friend. Thanks for being here. It's always great.
No, thank you for having me. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, there he goes. That's something you don't want to miss. Jordan at that huge UFO conference in Laughlin. All right. Be right back with another hour. Hold on.